Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Still to come, State Representative Susan Dubose. That's in about 30 minutes from now. We'll talk libraries. Also on the program, my good friend, former State Senator Rusty Glover. We'll get his analysis on what to expect in the upcoming legislative session. So keep it glued to 106.5. Joining us now on the line, another friend of the program, always a delight to have him on, from Russellville up in Franklin County, State Representative Jamie Keel with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great.
Hey, thank you for making time. Always appreciate it. Before we get into like particulars, how you feel about this year? We're just a few days away. What are we looking at? What's on your radar, at least?
Well, I'm ready to get back to session. I've got a few bills lined up, and we've had time off to be with our constituents in our districts, and so it's time to get back and look at all things legislatively, budgets especially, and make sure that the state's in good shape and ready to go again for another year.
Yeah, so this is not your first rodeo. It doesn't feel quite as busy as it did last year, but then you had a lot of new members and a lot of things going on at the State House. But what does seem different, you got some big, kind of ticket items looming on the horizon.
Well, we do. I think we'll start off kind of where we left off last year with a bill that I had that's coming from the Senate this time, ballot harvesting. Senator Gudger will have SB1, and that seems to be a priority for the Senate this year, and I'm glad that it is. It's something that we need to make sure that we have shored up in Alabama before the November elections take place, to make sure that nobody's profiting from our balloting process. And so it looks like we're going to hit that early, and so I'm super excited about that. That was a major battle last year, and we got right to the finish line, didn't get it passed out of the Senate, but looks like they're going to pick it up early this time.
How important was it to go start in the Senate this time around, do you think?
Well, I mean, we did all we could last time in the House. We did our part and passed the bill, and got it to the Senate, and it stalled at the end of the session. And so, I think it was from a House standpoint, it was good. It's good for them to be able to go ahead and get it passed out of there and get it back to us. And hopefully we'll be able to do the same thing we did last year in the House. And so I think it's a positive thing. Go ahead and let the senators deal with it and then get it to the House to consider.
Well, and this is, I guess, the primary reason I want to get you on to talk about this bill a little bit. Kind of walk us through it. Now it is a misdemeanor, but just kind of based on my very average knowledge of the situation, it's not necessarily a law that is universally enforced, the so-called ballot harvesting.
Well, what we want to do is make sure that the process is as secure as possible. And when you have outside groups being paid to pass out and collect ballots and applications, that's when the process becomes less clean. And we have a very stable and very safe voting day in Alabama. Really, in other states, you even see that when early balloting is in place, that's where most of the problems come in with groups influencing votes and influencing elections, sometimes cheating. And so we just want to make sure that we have that shored up in our state. And the Secretary of State's worked very hard on this. Secretary Allen has been at the forefront of this issue now for a year or so, and making sure that that this process for early voting, it's the only early voting in Alabama, that it is clearly above reproach when we turn in those numbers. And one way to stop that is to stop people from profiting from the ballot process.
So raising that penalty from a misdemeanor to a felony, kind of walk us through the wisdom there. Like, is it does that become maybe more of a mechanism for deterrence?
I think so. I mean, I believe that, if you're faced with a felony charge versus a misdemeanor, it might give you a second thought before doing whatever it is you're about to do. And so, I believe it is a deterrent. We just want to make sure that people are being honest in the election process, people are not profiting from the process, and certainly not stealing votes during the process.
Well, walk me through this. And then we had Senator Gudger on earlier this week, and he kind of laid some of this out, but that a lot of the problems, a lot of the critics out there saying that it makes the people that want to help those who can't, who are blind or disabled or can't read or write, if you want to help that person, it criminalizes it. But he's saying, well, no, that's not in this bill. This is all that is governed by federal law anyway. What would you say to that? Is that sort of where we're at? Is that any different than what current law is?
Sure. Well, that is clearly a smokescreen by people who are profiting or trying to manipulate the absentee ballot process. And the reason I say that is because, first of all, the Voter Rights Act is clear that people who are blind or handicapped can receive assistance. Not only that, because that issue was raised, we went ahead and spelled that out in the bill last year, that if you were blind, if you were disabled, if you couldn't read or write, that you could get assistance. And we were even further clear of who could assist anybody, and that was a mom or dad or son or daughter or aunt, uncle, cousin, even the election officials, the circuit court clerk, or anybody the clerk designates, or the Secretary of State, or anybody he or she designates. I mean, there's a lot of people that can help, but to say that because somebody's blind or is handicapped, that this is going to affect them, that is just not true.
Well, walk us through this, and what is legal and what is illegal under this proposal. That my understanding was in Alabama, if you wanted to vote absentee, you had to be the one to turn in the application. You had to be the one to initiate the process. Is there any change to that? Are there any exceptions now with this new law, perhaps?
Well, it's very simple. The Secretary of State has put out pamphlets and has posted on the website where you can scan it with your smartphone for an application, or you can click on the site for an application. It's not difficult to do. So access is important, but it's there. And so, and furthermore, if they don't use the internet, or I guess there are people maybe that don't use the internet or don't have a cell phone, they can simply call the office and they will facilitate them locally with their absentee application and ballot.
But, is there still a possibility? I mean, like, let's say, for example, I live in a nursing home and I wanted to vote absentee. Is there an intermediary that would be eligible to, I don't know, go through the application process with me?
Yeah, is there? I mean, I guess the question then would be, is there somebody in the nursing home that's not disabled? I mean, because right. We specifically exclude those people that are disabled. And so maybe there's somebody in the nursing home that's not disabled, but I don't know why they're in the nursing home if they're not. And there may be that exception, but, mom, dad, son, daughter, cousin, aunt, uncle, any of those folks could assist those.
And you expect this to get through pretty early, don't you?
I hope so. That's my understanding, is that the Senate plans to take it up quickly. And so that's what I would hope for.
Joined by State Representative Jamie Keel here on the program. Representative, we'll hit a few other things while we're here. I don't know. I can't get a read on it all over the state, but you sort of line up on the conservative side here, but all this buzz about talk about school choice, and well, what's that like in your part of the state? Is there really an appetite for that, you think, from your constituents?
Well, I'm probably being in a rural area. You know, in my district, there are no private schools, and you know, in Franklin County specifically, when you get into Franklin, Marion, you know, Winston County, in these rural counties. If a child wanted to leave the public school, there's not a lot of choice. I mean, they could travel, but then we're back to, you know, if we're trying to help people in schools that are broken, you know, people of means could travel, you know, 30, 40, 50 miles to a school, to a private school, but, you know, poor people are not going to be able to do that. And so for them, there really is no school choice. It doesn't matter what we do as a legislature, because those options are just not available. So if you got a mom and dad or a single family, and the adults work, then it's hard to homeschool. And you know, there's no private schools in Franklin County, and so your options are pretty limited there. No matter what the legislature does.
Well, what about maybe you're zoned for one school, public school, and decide or determine for whatever reason you want to go to another? I mean, is that even a concern?
It's not in our area. We already have that option. I went to a county school through the 9th grade and 10th grade. I went to a city school, and you know, the only thing that would be a deterrent there would be a out of district fee if a school were to charge that. And we have a couple of schools in Northwest Alabama that do charge an out of district fee.
Well, another question here, and this is the burning issue, and I don't know where you are on it, but the gambling, the gambling efforts starting in the House. I know they got a bill you guys could go look at, but it's sort of under a secure situation. Any reaction to the early discussion of the gambling push?
I haven't driven down to read the bill, so I'm not really sure what completely is in it. I know in my area, people are generally not for casinos, and so, you know, that is an issue. It does seem that people are more likely to be for a lottery than they are for casinos. But as far as specifics of the bill, I haven't seen the bill and really don't know what all it entails.
Well, I mean, you're right there by Mississippi. It's not too difficult to go get a lottery ticket. I mean, whenever they talk about lottery, is that even something that is like a priority?
I'm not sure. The current push, I'm not sure if it is or not, but it is pretty popular in our area. That discussion, just because we're close to the state line and people are driving, you know, just over the line from where I'm at to buy tickets there.
Well, and then
I'm not sure that it's good government policy either way, but that does seem to be more popular in my area.
The other big part of this, Representative, and I mean, this is what at least I'm seeing from reporting, that one of the justifications, and there's numerous, but that you need to do this because we need some kind of a law enforcement mechanism to crack down on the illegal gambling, the illegal gaming. and this would enable that. Does that resonate with you at all?
I absolutely agree that we need to, have the laws in place to regulate gambling if there is, and I believe there is illegal gambling going on. I believe that we found that out. There's been numerous investigations, and that has borne out to be true, that there's a lot of illegal gambling going on. And so I don't disagree at all that we need to deal with that issue and make sure that law enforcement has the tools that they need to enforce the law.
Yeah, I guess it's, that is a justification to pass a big comprehensive package when maybe that's not necessarily the case, but it does seem as if that's one of the reasons that, we're going to, the idea that if we're going to tackle this problem, and it is perceived to be a problem, I'm not questioning that, then this is the best way to do so. Just do it all with one big swing at it.
Yeah, I'm not convinced of that. I mean, I do believe that we need to deal with illegal gambling. Putting casinos in the state is, from my perspective, since I've been in Montgomery, before I was in Montgomery, people elected me, they know who I am. They know my morals. They know who I am. That's who they elected. And that's how I voted since I've been in Montgomery. And so, I don't typically support alcohol bills. I don't typically support, that type of bill. I have not supported gambling in the past and didn't when I was not elected and haven't since I've been elected. And so, for me to change now, I don't think that would be who I am or who I have been known as either since I've been in Montgomery, before I've been in Montgomery. So, I think there are ways to solve that problem without full-scale gambling.
Well, I'm going to put you down for a no on most of that. But, hey, Representative, I'm taking up too much of your time this morning. You've been very kind to make time for this show, and hopefully we can catch up during the session.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Jamie Keel, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.